The story is told of John Henry Newman, who for the first 45 years of his life was an Anglican, an Anglican priest. He then converted to Roman Catholicism and became one of the most influential thinkers in the Catholic Church. Indeed, Bishop Robert Barron says of John Henry Newman that he is the greatest Catholic theologian that we have writing in the English language. When he was 79 years of age, Cardinal Newman, well, he was made a cardinal at the age of 79, and he lived in a city called Birmingham. Just north of Birmingham was a little town called Brennan, and he received a letter from a priest there who said, "Cardinal Newman, you need to send another priest to Brennan. There has been a cholera outbreak. People are dying. I need another priest to be here to administer the last rites and to bury the dead." For about an hour, Cardinal Newman pondered this letter. And then his secretary came to him and said, "Your Eminence, you need to make a decision. What are you going to do about the situation in Brennan?" And he said, "I cannot send another priest. I have to go myself." This Sunday, the church sings, as we did in our opening song, "O come, Emmanuel, O ransom captive Israel, who mourns in lowly exile here until the Son of God appears." Advent is the season of the year when we celebrate that God has come to us in the person of Jesus Christ. He has come to buy us back, to ransom us. He has come to us in our misery, just like Cardinal Newman went to Brennan and ministered to the people there in their misery. One of the key themes that runs throughout the Bible is that we suffer from an illness. It's not called cholera, it's called concupiscence. Concupiscence is the fundamental sin. In the Catechism of the Catholic Church, concupiscence is referred to as the tinder of sin. Tinder is another word for kindling. The forms of kindling that most often ignite into sin have three names: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world refers to all of those allurements that feed our greed and restlessness and make it difficult for us to be satisfied with our lives. It's that gossip, the scandal, the intrigue. And can it consume our time? How many of us spend time wasting our time just reading stories that in no way enhance our life? That's one of the ways in which the world gets at all of us. And then there's the flesh. The flesh are all of those addictive patterns of behavior. The flesh is vulgarity. The flesh is all of those ways in which our lives are disordered in terms of towards food, towards sexuality, towards ourselves and towards others. Yes, the flesh are those addictive habits that twist what it means to be made in the image of God. And then there's the devil. He is the underlying spiritual power who is opposed to God. And what does the devil want us to do? To be so focused on the world and the flesh that we forget about God altogether. And so when we sing, "Come and ransom captive Israel," we are praying for Jesus to rescue us from the power of concupiscence, from the world, the flesh, and the devil, so that we can be liberated. What are we to be liberated for? I love the way it's put in today's collect, that we would have the resolve to run forth to meet Jesus with righteous deeds at his coming. So I want to ask you this morning, do you have resolve in your heart to run towards Jesus Christ with righteous deeds? But here's the problem. In Brennan, it was really clear that there was a cholera outbreak. It was obvious what the problem was. For us, we can be lulled into a sense of saying, everything's okay. There is no problem here. And we don't think we need to be delivered from anything. But our scriptures today would tell us another story. Isaiah would tell us that we need to be delivered from spiritual sloth so that we can be freed to live in the community of grace, the theme that is at the heart of our reading from 1 Corinthians. And then repeatedly in the gospel, Jesus says we are to be delivered from sloth so that we can live lives of spiritual zeal. Awake, be alert, watch. These are the words from today's gospel. So let me begin by having you think with me about what is spiritual sloth. I love the way the medieval theologians described sloth. Do you know what they called it? The noonday devil. The noonday devil. Picture this scene. It's July. Oh, I've had a nice lunch. Maybe I had a beer with my lunch because it was a day off. And there's my hammock in the backyard. There's nothing I want more than to just go and chill and take it easy on my hammock. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking an afternoon siesta when it's 30 degrees outside and it's the summertime. But if that's how we approach our spiritual life, that's where the noonday devil comes in and gets hold of us. St. Thomas Aquinas said of sloth that it is sorrow for spiritual good. There are so many people who can be go-getters in every way in their life. They're excited about their business. They're excited about working out. They're excited about so many things. But when it comes to their spiritual life, they have a whatever kind of attitude. And when Aquinas says that sloth is sorrow for spiritual good, it means that we lack in energy. We have a kind of spiritual depression, a ho-hum boredom in our souls. How about you? What's your soul like? Are you aware of the noonday devil? Is he influencing your life? Does he have a hold of you? Bishop Barron has said that sloth is the distinctive sin of our time, and it's influenced by secularism. We are a society that's full of energy with what we can build with our technologies, with our scientific discoveries. But when it comes to spiritual things, Canadians are indifferent. We have a whatever kind of attitude. Now, can you imagine Apple having a whatever attitude to the development of the next iPhone? It's just the opposite. So too with other areas of research and development. Engineers are hard at work giving their all to improve the latest technologies. Do you think sports teams, like in the NFL at the moment, do you think the coaches are in there with their teams today saying, whatever, boys? No. They are prepping for today's game with a determination and zeal. But for our culture, when it comes to values and ultimate meaning and purpose in life, we tend to have a whatever attitude. I like this analogy from Cardinal Newman. What gives a river energy? It's its banks. If those banks are firm, that river can flow. But if the banks begin to give way, what happens to the river? Over time, it can become a big, lazy lake. And one of the things that can happen is once those banks have been knocked down, whatever is good, whatever is true, whatever is beautiful, are sort of ignored, and we give in to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's how we kind of are spiritually today. We're all kind of floating on our own private mattresses. There's no spiritual purpose, energy, or life in that kind of society. Now, with this in mind, listen again to what we read in Isaiah. We have long been like those whom you do not rule, like those not called by your name. There is no one who calls on your name or attempts to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have delivered us into the hand of iniquity. Do you see how spiritual sloth is expressed here? There's a kind of whatever attitude. And then the passage goes on to ask, why, O Lord, do you make us stray from your ways and harden our hearts so we do not fear you? Do you see what's happened? The people have this perception that God has made them stray from his ways and God has hardened their hearts. But it's just the opposite. It's because of their sloth. It's because of their whatever attitude. Now, here again, these other verses in our reading from Isaiah that represent spiritual zeal. Listen to this. Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down so that the mountains would quake at your presence. From ages past, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God beside you. Listen to this next bit. Who works for those who wait for him. You meet those who gladly do right, those who remember you in your way. What a difference. When we have spiritual zeal, we are waiting for God. When we have spiritual zeal, we want to do what is right. We remember God in our ways. And so on this first Sunday of Advent, it is this that the church is calling us to, having us to recognize that we all struggle with sloth, the noonday devil. But each year, the church invites us back to a place of saying we desire not to be people who are slothful, but to be people who are zealous for the Lord. And that brings me to our second reading, the very opening of St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And listen to how he begins his letter. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace, the love, the gift of God. Peace, that peace which he gives us that passes understanding. And here's what Paul wants us to see. When we open ourselves up more and more to the grace of God, there is a dynamism that takes over our lives. Listen again to the dynamic writing of St. Paul. For in every way, says Paul, you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind. Just as the testimony of Christ has strengthened and been strengthened among you, you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you await the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved St. Peter's family, we are a community of faith. We are a community of grace, a community of peace. We need one another, because without one another, we are prone to sloth. With one another, we can cultivate this quality of spiritual zeal so that collectively we can bear testimony to Jesus Christ. How in our homes we need to encourage one another. How we need to take that time to say, although prayer is difficult, I choose to get up to pray. Although saying the rosary is difficult, I choose as a family to try to pray at least one decade. That although at times coming to Mass is difficult, we choose to say yes, and I commend you for that yes, because this is a way that we say to Christ, we are awake, we are alert. We want to live our lives in such a way that we do not want to fall into spiritual slumber. And again, because of our secularism, because in some ways we have it so well, compared with most people of most generations of the past, it is very easy for us to fall into spiritual slumber. But may you hear the Advent call to spiritual zeal, the Advent call of Jesus in today's gospel, where he says, stay awake, be alert, and keep watch. Because here's the beautiful thing. Our God is the Father, who in the words of Isaiah says, we are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hands. When we have spiritual zeal, we are malleable so that our Father the potter can mold and fashion us. I pray you have a blessed Advent, a holy Advent, an Advent where you are zealous for the Lord.